Hello, and welcome to Release Your Wings. We have a special treat today. This is Sister Gayatri, who has been with the BKs since the mid-70s. You'll have a hard time believing this. She is a delightful person, and our topic is free and clear. How does one live that way? So what sort of thoughts really increase this freedom, this clarity? What are some things that you would tell us to try?
Well, freedom is a very interesting term. And I've come to understand that nothing can be free outside of a context.
Nice.
So I believe that the four freedoms that were talked about and became so famous were set within the context of the Human Rights Declaration. So when you talk about freedom from fear, for instance, it is set within the context of rights being honored and upheld and rights being facilitated for people. But if you were to look at the other side of rights, it's responsibility.
Absolutely.
So when one is free to claim those rights, but one must do so within the context of being a responsible person.
Absolutely.
So I think freedom has been taken for granted and then lost its context along the way. And so it then became a kind of, I want to be free, so I want to do what I want, when I want, with whom I want, and, you know, that kind of unlimited sense of expressing my freedom in ways that I want to, not respecting.
Yeah.
And not respecting others, but also not being responsible, not being a responsible citizen or a responsible person.
So freedom is not license, as we're talking about it, to do just anything.
Exactly. And I don't think there's any license, even though I have a license to drive a car. Mm-hmm. I'm free to drive that car, but there are rules.
Yes.
That I have to adhere to, because other people are also on the road driving their car, and
Absolutely.
They are free to drive it too. But if we're both free and we do what we want, there will be accidents, there will be collisions. So I think it's a very interesting concept, and I'm very fascinated mm-hmm. by being free and the word freedom, because it also has the connotations of liberty. And liberty is a very beautiful word, but it's also to do with freedom.
Mm-hmm.
There is a connection, I feel, that exists between freedom and clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I can access more freedom if I'm clear. So if I have an inner clarity, if I can generate thoughts that would give me meaning and make sense and kind of highlight purpose, then those thoughts would give me a clarity of where I want to go. So if I'm walking the road to freedom,
mm-hmm.
then my clear thoughts will tell me, you know, what am I walking toward? And it may even show me my destination.
Yeah, I like that, because very much like just starting off to go anywhere, you're not going to get there unless you have a specific place. You'll get somewhere, but maybe not where you want to go. I think it was in Alice in Wonderland, the Cheshire Cat says, you know, where
right.
do you want to go? And she said, you know, it doesn't really matter. Or which way should I go, she says. And he says, you know, where do you want to go? It doesn't really matter. Then it doesn't matter which way you go.
Mm-hmm.
But that idea that knowing who you want to be, I'm reading mm-hmm. into what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
is a freedom of itself, because it keeps you from diverging into areas you don't want to go into. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. In a deep sense, if I concentrate on being,
yes.
what is it I want to be in this mm-hmm. particular moment, rather than what is it I want to do in this particular moment,
mm-hmm.
I think the clarity isn't in the doing. I think that's a trap.
Uh-huh.
But the clarity is in the being. So if I know what I want to be, then I will do what wants to get expressed from my being. It's a little bit like what Parker Palmer talks about. And he says what we have been doing is connecting our roles to our souls.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is to connect our soul to our role. So it's to connect the being to the doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I have that internal freedom to express my being in a way that defines me. But if I am just in the doing mode, then whatever I do is defined by my actions and therefore defined by how other people value or see those actions.
Right. So,
and so then it equals to I'm being defined by someone else.
So if one of your values is kindness, for example, you don't have to strategize, I'm going to carry a little old lady across the street or I'm going to find a dog to take care of. You basically are living as a kind person and the doing comes out of that.
Yes, because compassion comes from the being, and the expression of compassion is kindness.
So I know you're a BK, so I know you meditate quite regularly. Mm-hmm. Do you meditate on the states of being?
Yes, I meditate on states of being, and I meditate on what it means to be free mm-hmm. in a particular state of being. And I understand what limits my freedom.
Ah, talk to me about some of those limitations of your freedom.
Limitations of freedom for me come from my fears.
Mm-hmm.
They come from doubts. They come from social norms that I've grown up with. They come from culture to a certain extent. They even come from the discrimination that exists between gender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way Hindus were brought up, the boys were always the ones that, you know, got to go out while the girls had to be prim and proper.
Uh-huh.
It also comes from interpretations of religion to a certain extent. So when I am examining my being, I look to see how I get limited by years of such influences and how have they informed my interpretation of life. And so when I want to understand my being, I'm understanding life.
Yes.
And if life by its very nature is to be free, then what is stopping me from thinking within a domain that would allow for freedom, say, of religious belief?
So is there transcendence in those thoughts, or then do you plug into behaviors to push the envelope a little farther?
I think behaviors would come a little bit later,
mm-hmm.
but what I'm plugging into is experience.
Yes.
Yeah, because I believe from a spiritual perspective, experience is the greatest authority, not so much beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I could connect to experiences that's coming from spiritual truths, I call them, from teachings that transcend limitations
yes.
of morals or of mm-hmm. ethics or of spiritual principles, and what you're left with is really trying to experience something that's universal, that is good for all, right? That everyone, for instance, the right to love. I wouldn't say it's just one particular set of people have got a right to love. And I think I look at my being in terms of those undivided, those unifying principles that are spiritual in nature and exist in every human being. And that's where I start from and start to understand it from kind of knowledge. You call it like spiritual knowledge,
mm-hmm.
which literally means sense and meaning. And then bring that to a level of experiencing it first.
So someone comes to you and says, I don't think I'm a lovable person. I don't think God loves me. I don't mm-hmm. think that I deserve love.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you carry them from that point? Or do you?
Well, it's a very nice question. It's like if someone is in the hospital.
Yes.
And someone is really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to visit them. And they say, you know, look at me in this condition. What have I done? I must have done something really bad to be suffering like this. No one loves me. This is why.
Yeah.
What would I do for that person in that moment? I would take their hand.
Mm-hmm.
I would hold their hand. I would look into their eyes and I would love them.
Perfect. Absolutely. You know, I've often thought, I was a professor before retirement, and I've had students sit and tell me things like that. And sometimes I verbalized it aloud, but always thought it. If you could see you the way I see you, you would feel so much better about yourself.
Yes.
You know, I see you as perfect and learning, and you see yourself as just hurting.
Right.
My younger son is a chaplain, and he works in palliative care.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about exactly what you're talking about. It transcends what denomination people are in, what their beliefs are, and comes down to just being with that person in that moment as they approach death, being with the family with an open heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the being, I believe, personally, and what I'm hearing you say, is exactly that. You are being so strongly and so congruently with such clarity,
mm-hmm,
who you are, that is the resonance that I think has a healing possibility.
Right. And one final thing I suppose I'd like to add to that is, in that moment, if someone is saying, describing how they're feeling, and they're not feeling loved, and they're feeling low, and they're feeling hopeless,
right,
the question that comes deep from my soul is, what can I be for them?
Yes.
Because I can't do anything for them in that moment.
Yeah.
Invariably, you can't do anything. So what is it I can be for them?
Mm-hmm.
And then what inspires the being is not that person is giving me something that would then inspire me to get something in return.
Right.
But what the person is doing is giving me an opportunity.
Yeah.
And that opportunity is to respond and be what that person wants me to be for them. And so that experience is called a spiritual experience. It's the meeting of two souls.
I think so.
And it's the awakening of what that soul has forgotten.
So it's almost a namaste moment.
Yes.
There, that
yes.
The two of you suddenly are seeing each other in that spot.
That's right. And namaste is a beautiful meaning.
Yeah.
It's, I value the love in you.
Yeah.
Or I value you with love.
Yeah. I also read it as the divine that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are feeling that, then we're one in that moment. Which is, that is the being issue. So clarity really is knowing who you are. And I think sitting with that sometimes, because does that change for you? Has it changed over the years of who you are in your, the essence of what is compassion? What is?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think every time we give ourselves a moment and ask, who am I in that moment? We are so full of richness.
Yes.
Our richness shows up in very different ways. And so it enriches us. And it's a good question to keep asking ourselves, because there's no end to our beauty and richness inside.
And below the surface is, what am I? Who am I? If it's a label like professor, speaker, or something, then we're just looking at a surface thing. As if we're the essence of love, if we are part of the human family,
mm-hmm,
if we are, in BK terms, points of light that all contribute. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Yes.
Without the ego saying, oh yeah, you're better than that one.
That's so right. But who am I is not my role.
Right.
Right? Who am I?
Yes.
Is something, who am I always, regardless of the role I'm playing?
Yeah. I often slip in my meditation from who am I to what am I? Which sort of pops in whole other feelings, and is really not thoughts. So any last minute, because we're in less than a minute now.
I would say that freedom and clarity are two very important values to live a balanced and integrated life. But we have to have the sense to know freedom from what. And we have to have the wisdom to be clear about that.
Ah, very nice. Thank you so much, Gayatri.
You're welcome.
This was wonderful. And thank you for joining us. Goodbye.